This is The Guardian.
Just a heads up to say we will be hearing testimonies of women who've experienced sexual assault and misogyny when at the football. We'll also hear some derogatory terms. If you're not feeling up to it today, maybe come back to us another day. Hello and welcome to The Guardian Football Weekly. Today's pod is a special on the experience of women at football. We're aware that most of you and most match-going fans are men. And while we always plan to do a pod like this, the catalyst was a listener called Sarah. We'll hear her story and lots of stories from women who got in touch with the pod about going to watch football, getting there, getting home, or watching it at the pub, watching it anywhere. The whole experience of just being a woman who loves football. We'll speak to the Football Supporters Association about their recent survey and what we can do to make football for everyone. As with all these specials, it's the start of a conversation. We won't come up with all the answers. It's probably one we should have started a long time ago, and that's today's Guardian Football Weekly. Before we introduce the panel, let's hear from Sarah. She got in touch with the pod after we discussed the allegations against Cristiano Ronaldo, suggesting that while that was important, we should also have a proper and bigger conversation about women's experiences at football. She was sexually assaulted on the way home from a game, not by a football fan, but as you can imagine, it had a devastating effect on her to the point where she hasn't gone back to a game on her own since. This is her story. Sarah, thanks so much for coming on. Tell us why you got in touch with us.
It sounds a bit weird. I was driving along listening to your podcast and you were talking about various things and I just got really angry. Like, it was quite a visceral reaction to what you were talking about. And I thought, I'll go home, I'll chill out a bit and I'll get over it. And then I listened to it again and it still made me a bit angry. So I sent quite a ranty email because it made me reflect on my experiences of why I stopped going to football and also some of the things that happened to me when I was going to football. And I think there's a really interesting conversation to be had around how women feel when they go to football matches, and especially in light of the recent survey data that's come out from the Football Supporters Association. So I hadn't seen that data at the time, but I just had a quite visceral reaction to the podcast and then I got in touch and then all this happened. So.
Yeah. So specifically we were talking about, it's really interesting because we were talking about Ronaldo going to Manchester United and how everyone was just, you know, all there was just so much praise and no one had been talking about the allegations. And I sort of thought we covered it quite well. And we clearly didn't in your opinion, which is totally cool.
I think for me, obviously there's something really important around the allegations around Ronaldo and how to discuss them and how to talk about them. But I think there's a wider, more complicated relationship between women and football that I think has been changing in a really positive way. But I think there's still a lot of issues to talk about around it. And I think because of my own experiences, I kind of thought there is something to be said about the players and what's happened with the players and specifically Ronaldo in this situation. But I think the average female fan, the experience that they have in going to football is there are other things that are probably on a match-to-match basis more important for them to talk about. And we don't really have that conversation in a public space as much as we have the conversations around what Ronaldo's been accused of, and which I absolutely agree is an important thing to talk about.
We should say Cristiano Ronaldo denies all the allegations. Now, Sarah, I know it's a really sensitive issue, so only, you know, say what you want to say, but can you tell us about your own experience back in 2011?
So I was coming home from a football match and on my walk home, I was assaulted. I was sexually assaulted. And obviously it wasn't directly related to the football, but it completely changed my perception of how I felt about going to the football, particularly as I went on my own. So I met people there. Everyone else that I knew lived within the area of the football match and I used to travel to it, and it completely made me feel insecure and unsafe around going to the space. And I would say I was very lucky. Someone heard me screaming and came out and took me in, and I never had to think about phoning the police because someone else did it for me. I had a witness. So even though it was quite a traumatic period in my life, in a weird way, I always considered myself to be quite a lucky victim in that respect. But it did make me feel, I can't even feel about it for ages, it did make me feel completely different about going to a football match. Because for me, one of the joys of the match day experience is the whole day. It's about the excitement when you get up in the morning. It's about the journey on the train. It's about the drinks with the lads, about going to the match and then going home. And I just felt completely differently about that space. I remember going to the first match after it happened. I didn't even go in. Just stood outside the ground, collected my new season ticket and went back home. So that was it, really. I went to a few more matches that season, but I just never felt the same way about it after that.
And so in the last 10 years, you've sort of barely been back.
I've definitely not been on my own. I've been a couple of times with, in the time since I've got married. So I've been with my husband, I've been with friends, I've had work trips to football matches. It's a completely different experience when you go with someone else. But yeah, I have been back.
This might sound like a stupid question, and you've kind of explained it a little bit, but so many listeners of this podcast are men with no experience of this. What effect did it have on you?
I think one of the things I always love about football is it's this great communal experience, and that you're literally right next to people and you're in a feeling together. And I didn't feel safe in that space anymore. And I just didn't feel secure. And I connected, even though it was independent from the football itself, I connected the whole day together, and it just became this thing where I couldn't go back into that space because I just didn't feel safe in that space anymore. And things that I'd laughed off in the past in terms of interactions with other fans, I just felt like I don't want to laugh that off anymore. But I also didn't think I had the strength of character to start calling people out on it. It just felt easier to stop going.
Sure. And that, so I guess what happened to you made you really think about the sexism that women experience at football, right? And sort of from the moment that you put your football shirt on to the all through the
Are
day.
Are you calling me a kit wanker, Max? I don't
Listen, you're allowed to wear. I'm not Barry, right? You can wear a replica shirt if you want to. But can you? It crystallised all those little things that happen at a game, right?
I would very often go to a football match, like especially as I said earlier, for me, one of the joys of going to football is everything around it. So it's the catching up with fellow fans and having banter in the pub. But you go to the pub and you get your arse felt up, and it's just something you expect. You get comments. There's a kind of an underlying feeling that women go to football to be with men, whereas actually we go to football to enjoy football, to watch the game. And I think my whole feeling about that space changed quite rapidly after what happened. Yeah, and it is complicated. I do really miss it. And I think in a way I laughed it off, and I kind of was like, tried to be the cool girl and be like, oh yeah, that's fine, it's not a problem. And I think that exacerbated the situation. And then after the assault, I just didn't want to laugh it off anymore, and it just felt easier to stop going.
Did you find it was different sort of in like 2010 to how it was in, I don't know, when you started going to football? Like, had it got better or not really?
I think in a strange way, the more involved I became, the more I interacted with other fans. Because when I first got my season ticket, I didn't know anybody else who went, and I was just excited because I was very passionate about the club. I got a season ticket after waiting for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. I'd been made redundant, so I actually had some money that I could afford to get my found a new job really quickly. And then you start meeting people, and you start seeing the same groups of people, you start interacting with them, and then you start picking up on the behaviour, maybe in a weird way, because they see you all the time, they feel more comfortable about it. And it's a really fine lines, because I remember seeing a goal that was really exciting, qualified us for a Champions League final, and all of a sudden you're three rows back hugging everybody. And that's great. It's a really exciting part of football. But at the same token, you don't necessarily want someone feeling your ass while you're trying to get to your seat. And I don't want to say there distinctively isn't a blurriness there, but in a weird way, I could see why people might think there is a blurriness.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. We talk a lot when we cover subjects like this about, you know, what can in this situation all men do, right, to be helpful? Because like you said, you didn't want to, if you'd start calling it out, that would have made your life difficult, right? It would have made individual situations really awkward for you. But men could help, right?
Yeah, I think they could. But again, I don't want people to feel awkward going to the football, because where I was a season ticket holder, so you were with the same people, match in, match out. And I wonder if it's something like, should I have spoken to the stewards about it? Because that's what they're there to deal with. I wouldn't necessarily want the guy who I sat two seats down from and his son, who I got on really well with, who never did anything to me, I don't necessarily want them to have an uncomfortable experience by saying to them, can you please deal with this? But I do think there is a role for men, just as I think there's a role I look back and think there's instances where I saw racism or homophobia when I should have said something. But it is really challenging to think about the right way of dealing with it, because I genuinely don't know. I look back now and I think of like thousands of different ways I could have dealt with it. And then I also think maybe it was for the best. I just didn't say anything at all.
Hmm. How much do you miss it?
Oh, I miss it loads. And what's strange is when you go with other people, it's a completely different experience. The first time I went with my husband, we just happened to get tickets and we went to the same pub I used to go to, and they talked to me. Everything was completely different because he was there with me. And it was weird, but yeah.
In what sense?
Well, obviously, that if he's there, there's a line drawn. You can't feel up someone's wife.
Sure.
In the pub, it just feels different. And also, yeah, I do, sorry. I do really miss it.
No, that's okay. Take your time.
I do really miss it. Because it is inevitably a huge part of your life. It's something you do most weekends, even if it's an away match. You might go into town and meet some of them anyway to watch it on the telly. And then all of a sudden it's like, doesn't feel safe anymore. Hence the ranty email.
I'm so sorry, because it's such a, it is, you know, if you go week in, week out, and like loads of our listeners do and loads don't, it is such, you know, it's such a part of your life. And I don't know, would you like to get to a stage where you could go back and go back on your own? Because that's the experience that you miss.
Yeah, I would. And I'm not saying that I never would try to go back again on my own. I don't support the same team as my other half, so we're going together. And then because we've just moved house, we talked lately about maybe we should find just a small local team, like a lower league team. That'd be our team that we're going to see together. But yeah, I would love to go back. I just genuinely, I still wonder how I would feel, even at the turnstile, even on the train. I quite quickly learned, don't have anything on the train that makes it look like you're a football fan if you're a girl travelling on your own.
Because
you'll just get men come over and either be disparaging about your team, and then you feel uncomfortable because you're a girl and you're only not necessarily want to have to deal with that. Or be like, oh, you're coming to see the football? Which player are you going to be checking out? Are you a wag? Or just stuff like that. That's not threatening, but you just like, I don't really want to deal with this every time I'm on a train. So I used to have a phone case that had my team on it. Just don't put your phone on the table. It's not worth the hassle. Just look like another train passenger who's going shopping with all the others.
And that's annoying, because you want to be part of it, but you don't want to be, and I don't know if this is the right phrase, you don't want to have to be one of the lads.
Yeah. I mean, and I love, there were groups of lads that I went to the football with who I really miss, who were great and really good friends. And you did want to be part of the lads with them, but it wasn't being part of the lads, it was being part of a friend group. And I think one of the things about football is it is tribal. You are with a group of people who feel the same way as you feel about something, so you don't necessarily want to rock that boat, in a way. And that's one of the things I really miss about it, that whole relationship with your club and your fans and all that together, which I think maybe next season I should give it a go, see how I feel. I don't know.
Well, if you do, you should definitely like tell us, and we'll chat to you again about your experience. And I suppose what's interesting is, from the point of view of men who go to football, who might, and I'm aware that I don't know how many of our listeners or how they would behave necessarily going to games, but having an awareness of what a woman may have experienced in their life outside of football, that you could really have an impact by saying something that you don't necessarily think is quote, that bad.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, isn't it? That football is like an extension of your life. You bring other stuff in, and it is, I don't want to say it's difficult being a woman, because there's plenty of benefits to being a woman. But I think there is an element of, I described it to your colleague as the thing that I found the most useful, which is, within the film Gone Girl, when she talks about having to be a cool girl. and you're expected to do this and you're expected to behave like that. I think for me, that's how it was like at the football. You were expected to keep up with the amount of drinks that the guys were having. You were expected to keep up with the banter. You were expected to not be shocked if they showed you something on your phone, their phone you didn't necessarily want to see. You were expected to put up with people feeling you up at the bar because that's the kind of price of entry of being in this group. But then there are other, and I will say this, I don't want to use the phrase not all men, but there's plenty of men at football matches that are really great and really helpful and really friendly. I remember going to an away game where the ladies' bathroom was flooded and then a group of men were like, well, come in the men's and we'll protect you. And they helped me in, and that was great. So there's plenty of guys who are brilliant at football matches, and it is a minority, but it is a minority that make you feel unsafe and unwelcome. And it isn't that space that you want to be in.
You got in touch to say we should be having this conversation, which we're having, and we're going to have with like an expert panel. What conclusion, you know, what do you want us to get out of? Basically, I'm asking you to think of the questions that I've got to come up with in the next 40 minutes.
No pressure. I think it's, I think for me, it's just eye-opening for men to hear the experience of women of going to football. I think it's important to have an honest discussion about what that experience can be like. I think what you talked about earlier about how do we call out and not lose what makes football, the experience of going to football, great. I think also the role of like the role of stewards, the role of the teams themselves. And I think because it's bad, like, and it's not just in anymore, it's not just what happens when you're at the match, it's on social media as well, and that type of thing. I think it's just eye-opening for me personally, as hearing about, for example, experiences of racism and homophobia. It's been eye-opening for me to hear about that and start to think about, well, it's more important to be active and putting, like, having an active role in trying to end it. And I think just starting the conversation and helping, hearing other people's experiences. So I just think there is a power in coming together and having a collective conversation about it. Don't expect you to find the solution in a 40-minute podcast, although it would be nice.
That's good. The pressure's off then. Oh, look, yeah. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it because obviously it's not an easy thing to talk about. And like, if you hadn't got in touch, we may not be doing this podcast, which doesn't reflect well on us, but like, we really appreciate you getting in touch. Thank you.
No worries. I didn't expect an email to lead to all this, but it's good that you're in the conversation.
No, it's good that it is. Thanks, Sarah.
No worries. And nice to meet you.
Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate you getting in touch. Appreciate basically you making this podcast happen because it was something we needed to do. And it's something that you have made happen. Really important to say for anyone affected by rape or sexual abuse, there will be a link in the episode description where you can go for information and support. We'll be back with part two shortly. Welcome to part two of the Guardian Football Weekly. We asked for lots of experiences. Loads of you wrote in. We really appreciate that. They have been voiced by female Guardian colleagues. So when you hear them, it's not the voice of who wrote the story, but it is their story. Let's introduce our panel. Barry Glendening is here. Hey, Barry.
Hey, Max.
The women's football correspondent, The Guardian, Susie Rack. Hi, Susie.
Hi, guys.
And Ali Simcock, Football Supporters Association member and the Port Vale Fan Liaison Officer. Ali, thanks so much for your time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We heard Sarah's story there. I just wonder, Susie, if I start with you, sort of what were your early experiences of going to football? Did you find it like it is? It must have been a very male environment, and what impact that had on you?
Yeah, I'm an Arsenal fan, so I used to go and watch Arsenal with my dad when I was a kid, and sort of with my dad, you kind of felt quite protected and felt like one of the team. The chanting I found a little uncomfortable. I felt like a little bit of a fraud, like I was joining in with chants, you know, hello, hello, we are the Arsenal boys and things like that. And, you know, you very much feel like, oh, what if someone notices I'm singing this when I'm clearly not supposed to be? When you're a little kid, that is a little bit uncomfortable. And Harry Redknapp's mother is a whore, that kind of stuff just made me really uncomfortable from quite an early age, or whichever manager it was at the time. I felt uncomfortable. I didn't feel unwelcome or unsafe when I was a child. But when I started going to games by myself, when I was sort of mid-late teens, I felt significantly more uncomfortable when I was on my own in particular. I kind of felt like if I was visibly wearing Arsenal stuff, that helped because I was recognisable as an Arsenal fan, and that sort of, you know, ingratiates you slightly to the people around you. Although I know some people kind of feel the opposite. Yeah, I felt like it was almost like wearing a sort of stab-proof vest going through with, you know, I'm one of you kind of thing. And but yeah, the chanting was the main thing. Comments every single game, every time you walk into the ground, and just a feeling of being an outsider. I think, like, if you're on your own at a game, no one really talks to you. You don't really, you know, small talk with the people around you in the same way that, you know, my dad would. And I just think there's a bit of a disconnect there. I felt the same in the press box, actually. The first time I went into an Arsenal press box as a journalist, I was completely ignored by absolutely everyone else in it, and just felt very much on my own and left to myself. Particularly when you're on your own, there's just, yeah, it's a very weird feeling being a lone woman in a crowd of men who very much see it a space as their space. And I think it is changing, but it is still, even now, like, I haven't been to a men's game for a fair while because I'm like obviously so involved in covering the women's game. I can't give up all my life to football as much as I'd like to. There is still great discomfort whenever I do go.
Ali, what about your experiences?
I think I'd agree quite a bit with what Susie's just said. I started going when I was 5 and I just loved the sights and the smells, but obviously it's a lot different when you're 5 as to when you start growing up. And when I was kind of in my mid-teens, I started supporting Port Vale, and the actual team that I should have supported was Stoke City because that's the one I lived closest to, so I was always in the minority. So I think I always wanted to put myself out there, and I made it kind of my job to go and be amongst people, and I always made it my job to talk to people and to have that confidence. I think I always pushed myself to be more confident than I was. And I think that, as Susie said, wearing a shirt with the badge on and going in and making yourself be amongst those people gave you a sense of belonging. Years ago, without saying my age, it was commonplace for a lot of the more sexist chants than there are now, although there are still quite a few sexist chants that there are, you know, that are sung in football. As I got older and I became the chair of the supporters club, and the local newspaper covered it as the first female chairman of the supporters club, which is a really interesting phrase. Why yeah. is the headline is kind of beyond me. But when I became involved in the Football Supporters Federation, as it was then, and now the FSA, I became the fan representative in the fixtures working party. So I went along to the meeting with the EFL and the Premier League and everybody else who gets involved with deciding the fixtures. And obviously nobody really came along and properly spoke to me. So I used to make myself go and speak to people and make them kind of speak to me. And I think there are more women involved, but I wanted to make myself remembered. I mean, you might think that's a bit odd because I've got purple hair and nobody would forget me. But I used to think, you know, people will remember me, and the more I push myself forward, the more people will remember me. It is a community, but it is also a male-dominated society. It is changing. It isn't changing quite fast enough.
We've got loads of experiences from women who got in touch. This one echoes kind of what you said, echoes Sarah's story as well. She says,
I've never experienced unwanted attention when I've been at a game accompanied by a man. Every time I've been to watch the Mighty Reds with my dad or a male friend, I've had a completely normal, pleasant experience. But whenever I go alone, it's a different story. I become prey, a target. I had a season ticket a couple of years ago, and a man behind would spend the whole match trying to get my attention. He'd tap me on the shoulder, knock into me on purpose, and make a beeline for me every time United scored a goal, hugging and grabbing me. He had a shared ticket, and I'd dread seeing him walk up the steps before a game. He was always drunk and often shouted misogynistic things at the opposition team. "I'm going to rape your mum" was one that sticks in my mind. I didn't feel safe reporting him to the guards because he was on friendly terms with them and he had a group of mates with him. It would be obvious that it was me who reported him. I live close to the stadium and didn't want him or his mates to follow me home.
Susie, I find that of all the experiences we've had, and we've had some, you know, incredibly serious ones, that idea that suddenly it makes a difference if you're on your own, I find that so depressing.
Yeah, it's really depressing. I mean, you know, it's one of the great joys, isn't it? The fact that you go to a football match and on your own as an individual, but like join in with this collective euphoria or despair and become part of a whole. And yet, so then to be targeted because you're a woman and because you're not protected by a man is incredibly depressing. But I'm again, like, just not surprised by that account, because, you know, I mean, even to the point of, you know, obviously a lot of stadiums, particularly some of the like less elite grounds, the seating is really, really tight. You know, if you've got to get down a row, you've got to get everyone to stand up for you. And there's so many men that, you know, just don't really move out of the way and force you to sort of push against them as you go past them really inappropriately. Which I've also had in press boxes actually as well. You know, some of the press boxes are so tight that you squeeze down them and you're basically forced to like rub against men's groins as you go down them. And yeah, it's a really unpleasant experience. You're really kind of made to not feel welcome. Whereas if you've got, if you've been brought along by your dad or your partner or whatever it may be, you know, you're there on their arm essentially. You know, you've got this air of protection, which is, yeah, again, extremely depressing.
Ali, I want to ask about the survey you did. First of all, let's hear one of our listeners' experience.
Worst thing that ever happened was when I was standing on the Kop. I must have been about 17 or 18 at the time. We were always packed in tight with everyone else, so you got used to being up close with other people, who were mainly men. I was wearing a red waterproof jacket, and when I went to put my hand in my pocket, the man just behind and to the side of me had put his penis in there. His mates found my reaction to accidentally touching it hysterically funny, but I don't think I ever wore that jacket again. At the time, it was just seen as something unpleasant that happened, so nobody suggested reporting it. I doubt I could have done anything anyway, as I was in the middle of the Kop and wouldn't have found him again to point out the culprit. It was very much a masculine environment at the time.
We'll get on to situations and whether they've improved. Clearly, that's a, you know, that's sexual assault. And you just can't imagine, I can't imagine that happening now, but maybe it still is. Ali, tell us about the survey you carried out, the Women at the Match survey by the FSA, why you did it and what you discovered.
Well, we carried out a survey in 2014 and then we carried out a survey again last year. So we published the results. We found that some women had started to experience unwanted physical attention, and the statistics had actually risen this time. What I think that we could look at from those statistics is either the number of situations have risen, or that women have become more confident in reporting them. So I guess there's two ways of looking at it. 6-7 years ago, women weren't as confident in saying, actually, this is not acceptable behaviour, we're not going to stand for this. We've had obviously Me Too since then. We've had lots of things in the press that have given women more confidence to say how they do and don't want to be behaved around, I guess. Or maybe things are getting worse at football. But what we are saying at the FSA is that misogynism and sexism in football, just that there is no place for it. And if people are experiencing unwanted physical attention, then, you know, report it to somebody. Or if you don't feel like you can report it to somebody, you can do it afterwards, because Kick It Out will deal with those kinds of reports as well.
Can I ask about kind of, I don't know if this is the right way of phrasing it, like the different levels of misogyny in football, Susie, in terms of like a general chant, which is sexist, but which is not aimed at one specific woman, to a woman walking on the pitch and people singing, get your tits out for the lads. You know, and I can't, look, I've been on terraces when I was 17 in 96. I can't physically remember singing that, but I'd be amazed if I didn't, because I was just part of that group and I was a 16-year-old and I was an idiot. And I did sort of, you know, I sort of wanted to be part of that crowd. You know, do things like that foster an environment where even more serious stuff could happen?
It's just an air of an acceptability, isn't it? I mean, it creates an environment that is hostile to women and belittles women's bodies and their experiences. And, you know, when you look at rape statistics and things like that, I'm pretty sure that on the whole, there's been some kind of prior incident that has been less serious that has led up to someone, you know, eventually kind of becoming a rapist and things like that. I'm not saying everyone who chants something or sings a very innocuous song at a game is, you know, a serial abuser or anything like that. That's far from it. But like, it's about creating an environment that's welcoming or not. And, you know, and there are a lot of young, impressionable people at football games.
Port Vale Football Club were the first club to be charged by the FA for sexist chanting. So when we played Crewe Alexandra, who were deemed to be one of our closest rivals, apart from Stoke City, obviously, we had a section of fans that were chanting at the Lions Woman. And she made a complaint and we were subsequently charged. So we worked really hard then, looking at ways that we could try and do something, not so that we could eradicate that as much as possible and show that we were actively working towards getting rid of that as much as possible. Next time we played Crewe, we sent quite a number of our own staff with the fans working hard, and I was one of them. So I wear pink at football, where all the other staff wear different other colours. I stand out quite well. And I went and stood where the two sets of fans met at the corner of the goal. And one of the young lads did sing exactly what you just said, get your tits out for the lads, towards an opposing fan, which is quite a popular song when singing at fans from the other team, I think, because it's quite a nasty song, I think, or it's sung in a nasty way against other teams. And he was a young lad and I was stood right in front of him. So I dealt with that by just gently getting hold of his face and saying, did you really want to sing that? Come on, really think about it. And he went, I'm so sorry, Ellie, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it. And it was just, and I know you couldn't do that with everybody. It's not a way that you could deal with every fan. It's not something you could do. But the last thing we needed at that point was another charge for sexist chanting, especially not in a similar fixture. And it's just one way of how we were dealing with things. And at that game, we managed to really, really calm things down. It's a really difficult one. You can't make football sterile, unfortunately, but it's like racism and homophobia. It'll never ever be eradicated, but we can't ever stop working at it.
I want to hear about ways to make it better. I want to hear specifically, I think, about ways that men, and a lot of men who listen to this, who go to games, who wouldn't consider themselves in any way misogynistic, what they can do to help the situation. Before that, we did get loads of experiences. So I just want to hear from a few more. As I said before, they're read out by our Guardian colleagues.
Men particularly make disparaging comments when you talk about the game, such as, that's a good point for a woman to make, or I cannot believe she knows the offside rule, or more commonly, get back in the kitchen, love. These comments are made by younger men in their 30s or 40s. Female officials do face the wrath of men if they make controversial decisions. Constant sexism to any female assistant referee. League Two stewards never seem to intervene when sexist, homophobic chants are made.
One of my earliest memories of it is walking into Bramall Lane, age about 16, with my 13-year-old sister and mum. Walking past a group of men, one shouted, "Get your rat out, love." I went bright red, which they all laughed at, and started shouting things about how I must be a virgin, as I was embarrassed. My mum had to explain the phrase to my sister, and every week when we saw them, they'd start shouting the same things. I've had and seen Get Your Tits Out for the Lad sung at me and any woman walking across the front of the stand, and been groped in home and away crowds. To be fair though, watching in pubs is worse.
Before the pandemic, my sister and I used to go to about 5 home games a season. In general, our experience was positive, apart from not being able to see much when everyone was standing. However, on one occasion a few years ago, when we were in our early 20s but looked younger, we went to a Boxing Day derby game against West Ham. After the game, we decided to walk some of the way back, but in some unfortunate timing ended up heading straight into the opposition fans leaving the stadium. We kept our heads down and started to quietly make our way home, but were horrified to hear a chant taken up which was clearly aimed at the two of us alone. "These two take it up the arse." It rippled and repeated several times across the fans and several laughed. Clearly they had no idea or didn't care how aggressive and intimidating they seemed. As two young brown women in a sea of hundreds of opposition fans, we did what many women would have done and stayed silent and tried to hurry home. However, part of me still regrets not saying anything and standing up for my sister.
Thanks again to all of you who got in touch. We'll be back after this break. Welcome to part 3 of the Guardian Football Weekly. Do you think it's changing and do you think it's getting better? Because we had lots of experiences and we had quite a few positive ones. We'll hear a couple now of people, of women who go to games and just say they have a really good time.
In all the years I've attended matches, I've even been on my own, I have never experienced any problems. Men have never been abusive, either verbally or sexually, towards me. I can't offer any explanation, possibly because it has been common in Merseyside for girls and women to attend. I was at an Everton game about 2 years ago, and there was a woman as the official on the sideline. I didn't hear any abuse. Indeed, I heard someone comment that she's better than a lot of the blokes, although I can't say about what happens in other parts of the crowd.
The stadium I have visited the most over the last few years has been Stamford Bridge, where I usually sit somewhere in the West Stand. I have never experienced any unwanted attention. In fact, I rarely experience any attention. I am usually politely ignored. More often than not, they are just surprised that I know who is playing and that a ball is being kicked around.
The atmosphere at Stevenage's home matches has always been very welcoming. The club works hard to make it inclusive and to attract families. They've won several awards for being family friendly. So I've never had any concerns about going to matches. I usually go with my partner, but have gone on my own a couple of times, and I've never felt threatened or uncomfortable, even though we usually go in the stands on the East Terrace, where the supporters are more lively. The other Stevenage fans have never made me feel I shouldn't be there, or that I'm fair game because I am there.
Some positive reactions there. Susie, in your experience, do you think it's getting better? Do you think it's better than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago or not?
It's definitely improving. I mean, in the same way that society generally has improved, I was sent the 9-year-old video of, I can't remember which Sky Sports presenter it is, doing a segment.
Me. It might be me.
it definitely wasn't you. It could have been. Doing dance with the Crystal Palace cheerleaders when they first came in, and there's a whole segment on it. It's really, I mean, cringeworthy to watch.
No, but I mean, are you sure it isn't? I did the X Factor piss take of Dermot O'Leary with the Crystal Palace cheerleaders.
But is it you? I mean, it's not you. No, it's definitely not. Because
is it not me? Because no. But it's an interesting point you bring up, and I thought it might come up.
I would suggest Max has gone pale enough. Because I'm fairly certain it is him.
No, because my dance was just a synchronized dance. There was nothing wrong with it. But I did do the Socceret part on Soccer AM, right? And I did it for, I was terrible at it, and it existed before I got there, and there's no way it wasn't a sort of sexist part of that show. I was terrible at it. I hated it, and we got rid of it, and I was pleased about that. But I wasn't some, you know, I didn't sort of behind the scenes fight to get rid of it. It was just awkward.
Obviously, I was thinking a while ago, it was okay to be sponsored by Yorkie. It's not for girls. And one of the adverts that was on was where a lady came out with a football shirt on and got to the game and said, "Oh no, there's somebody over there with the same top on as me," and it was a very sexist orientated. Yet I still got up on a Saturday morning and watched it and laughed. So actually, people's attitudes have changed, and I think that's women and men. So I guess the things that were deemed okay a while ago have changed now. My daughter's 17 and I take her to football and I feel comfortable taking her to football, and she goes with her friends and I feel comfortable with her going to football with her friends. So I think it's not, we are highlighting that I think there are things that aren't right, but there are things that are right, and there are things that the football clubs are doing that are making people feel more comfortable. But obviously there's still a lot more that can be done.
The majority of our listeners are men. I mean, I've said that a lot of times. It is true. In the wake of sort of Me Too, and, you know, especially after Sarah Everard, we've heard women saying, look, if you're walking down the street behind a woman late at night, just cross the road. And that's something that I'd never considered because I had no interest in that person ahead of me. I was just walking where I was walking. Are there things specific within football that men can do to create an environment that is as welcoming as possible for women to be there?
I think men just need to be aware of the women around them. If they hear something that they think isn't appropriate, then, you know, try and feel confident enough to challenge it. Remember the some of the stories that you've listened to where women haven't felt confident enough to challenge things themselves, and they don't always. There's nothing stopping the men around them from challenging it around, you know, to challenging it for them, or to report for reporting it to the stewards, because it's sometimes it is a really dominant environment, and that can be really helpful if you've got somebody that's sticking up for you. So that's definitely one way.
Ali, I'm quite a physically large, confident bloke, but I am aware of the fact that whether it's in a pub environment or a football match environment or a train or anywhere else, that if some pissed up, coked up gang of yahoos are making inappropriate comments, and as much as I would like to confront them on it, there's a very good possibility I'll get a kicking for my troubles. Now, I don't want to make this all about me, but I can understand why some blokes might be uncomfortable hearing this stuff, but just not be brave enough to stand up to it.
I also think if you're not comfortable enough to confront those people directly, like you say, if they are, you know, kind of off their face and that, and it's not a, like, particularly safe environment or position to put yourself into, just checking in on the woman and just asking if you're okay and is there anything I can do to help you get you away from this situation, and even just showing the solidarity of saying what you've just experienced is not okay, can be hugely important to just not feel like quite so alone, you know, just to have other people around you that can tell you that they're aware that what you've been through is not something that is nice, can be like enough in and of itself.
I touched on this with Sarah, and you think about Sarah's experience and what she went through and how the impact that's had on her life. And I don't know a woman who hasn't experienced some kind of harassment, not to obviously that extent, but just something in their life, being flashed or just like some like creepy bloke come near them or just unwanted attention. I just don't know, like, not one woman that I know in my life. And just sort of, I guess, at the football, and I don't want to sound sort of patronising, right? Because this will be the same experience. Most men will know that. But just remembering in your mind that that is the experience of a woman when they are in an environment of football where it is very male dominated.
Well, it's really important because at the end of the day, the law states that your gender is a protected characteristic. So actually making somebody uncomfortable and harassing them because of their gender is actually against the law. And you know, you're putting people off coming to the game, and that's not what we want to do. You know, when we did this survey and we were showing that people are becoming more uncomfortable at football, the last thing we wanted to do by giving those results out was to stop people wanting to come to the game. That's not what it's about. We just wanted to raise awareness and for people to understand how their actions are making other people feel. We want to attract more women into football, not to stop them coming. And actually, I think more people are accommodating rather than less accommodating. It's just raising that awareness.
I think this should be like the start of our conversation. Obviously, we spend most of the time, Susie, talking about football that's happened, and we don't do specials that often because we just don't necessarily have the time to do it. But like, what's the important thing for us as a podcaster? Is it just to have as many female voices as we can? Is that the best thing we can do?
I think it definitely helps. I mean, there's a lot of people that say to me, I'm more recognised for having been heard on Football Weekly than I am for having written anything, generally speaking. People come up to me and go, I really like you on Football Weekly. So people do notice when we have female voices on. And I do think it does cut through, like, to a wider population of football fans, male football fans, putting women's voices in to a space that is predominantly male shows that women are literate about the game and understand it. And how can you ever argue that women don't understand the offside rule when, you know, they can chat and analyse it on the most popular sports podcast in the country? I mean, that's really important, visibility of women that understand and know and love football can only be a good thing.
Great. Ali, I just wonder if you had any final thoughts before we finish this pod.
Just to say that, women, children, men, we all love football and we should all be welcome at football. And over the last, 39 years, I've been going to watch Port Vale, and I love it now as much as I loved it then. And I just want to carry on loving it for as long as I can. And I think we should all work together to eradicate misogyny and sexism as much as we do racism and homophobia.
How are Port Vale getting on?
Oh, we're fifth in League Two. I'm dead excited. We're doing all right.
Oh, would you take a playoff spot now, or you're pushing for automatic?
I'd take a playoff spot now. I've learned over the years to hedge my bets.
Look, Ali, thanks so much for coming, and we really appreciate your time. We'll get you on again, definitely.
Thank you.
Ali Simcock, FSA board member, Port Vale fan, liaison officer. Cheers, Baz.
Thanks, Max.
Cheers, Susie.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for listening. We got loads of experiences from women. We really appreciate all of them. We'll finish with just one more of them. We appreciate your time. We appreciate everyone who got in touch, even the ones we didn't play out. Really means a lot to us that you did get in touch and felt comfortable that we were the right place for you to come to talk about your experiences. We'll be back on Friday.
If I'm with my family, I feel fine going to the stadium or pub to watch a game. Although the older I get, the more tiring it is. I'm constantly on high alert, to the point now that I don't actually enjoy going all that much, and will really think about what I'm wearing, look like, who I know that is about. I'm lucky that I know a few people, so it's nice to have some support about when things are said. The point I would make: do I think this is isolated to just football? No. I think it's a systematic cultural issue that needs addressing. I've had it at live gigs, festivals, T20 cricket, rugby matches, the tube. Not always to the extent mentioned above, but some level of unwanted harassment. It's tiring. Please just let me watch football without ogling me. Thanks.
This is The Guardian. Thank you.